Avon Lake, Greg Zelka. We appreciate you stopping by today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and welcome to Avon Lake.
Well, it's good to be here. I live here, but it's good to be here, too.
Absolutely.
So that's a good thing. Maybe you can sort of reflect. Right before we went on the air, you mentioned that you had seen Tom Petty back in the day. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I had gone there to visit a friend in New York City who was we were in the Peace Corps together in Iran, and he had gotten a job at in Saudi Arabia and was taking classes in technology, invited me up there, and he had surprise tickets to see Tom Petty and Bob Dylan. And it was really an incredible experience. And the next night, watching David Letterman, Letterman commented that he was at the Tom Petty and Bob Dylan concert and how great it was. I thought, wow, that's interesting. When you go to New York City, you run into all kinds of people that you may not even recognize, but they're famous. So there's a famous person around every corner in New York City. But I was sad to hear that when I walked in the room here hearing that sad news, but nothing like yesterday. That's just very difficult, to deal with. There's a book I read a couple of years ago. It was the year Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs and Amelia Earhart and all that stuff. And they were talking about things that happened throughout the country. There was a man who was on the school board in a small town in Michigan, and he got so upset about tax increases for the schools. Even though he was on the school board, he placed bombs in two sections of a high school and blew it up. One section got blown up, the other one, the bomb didn't work. And it was in the news for one day. Think about how that would be today with this 24-hour news. We would talk about it forever. So if you step back and think about it, crazy things have happened throughout history. But now, anytime anything happens, it's front page news. It's on 24 hours a day. We sort of are in a culture where we're absorbed, and rightfully so, affected by all these terrible things that happen around the country and around the world. So it sort of gives you room for thought as to what's going on. Is it really different?
Well, my daughter yesterday in the car, she mentioned, she goes, 2017, this has been a really bad year, you know, based on the shootings and then the hurricanes and all this weather stuff. And I, of course, reflecting to certain other years, and I'm thinking, well, 1968 wasn't a really great year either with different assassinations taking place and stuff. So there's a perspective that you kind of bring to this sometimes. The grieving process, we understand it's terrible things that are happening, but at the same time, good things are going on too. So it's the balance that you have to keep in your life, and the news that you absorb and the places you look for information too.
Absolutely. You had Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and then the Democrat convention in Chicago with that ugliness that occurred there. It's just very unfortunate, but we survived, and we'll move on. We'll get by, and hopefully we'll become a better country.
Mayor Zilkel mentioned about David Letterman being at that concert you were at. David Letterman retires. What does he do? He goes off and grows this beard, and you don't even recognize him. Mm-hmm. I saw Mayor Zilkel sit down here before, and I looked at him. I didn't recognize him. He went on vacation for a while. Now he's got a new look to him today.
In anticipation of our bicentennial, Craig, I'm growing. Not really, but I do have a beard, and
he was thinking they maybe have a beard growing contest or something like that.
Got a head start.
Right? Isn't that one of those the contests that they have in cities?
It's like Seinfeld. Seinfeld jumping ahead of the start in that race with his rival in high school. If you've ever seen that Seinfeld, that's me. I'm getting a jump on it.
Well, I saw you the other day with that look, and I thought to myself, you've got a little. You could be in a movie. You could be in a TV show.
As a character actor.
Exactly. You've got the perfect look for that. Right. I really think that.
Like Abe Vigoda, those people.
Well, they have long careers.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about this. You mentioned Bicentennial.
Yes.
We've known that, our studio is located in Elyria. Bicentennial is going on. Grafton this year as well. Next year, Wellington, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When is Avon Lake's Bicentennial?
Officially, it's in 2019. We originally had on the sign that it was 2016 or 17, and John Shondell, who is a council person, did some research. And what does the word settled mean? If someone comes and stays for 3 months and moves on, does it really mean settled or founded, whatever? So we decided that the more appropriate year was 18, 19, therefore 2019. But we're going to start our bicentennial with our Fireworks Independence Day program in 2018 and carry it through to the next fireworks. So we'll have a, we start with a bang, we'll end with a bang, and we're going to take a lot of what's successful and build on it, but also have a number of different unique events that I think the community will find exciting. We have a wonderful wine fest that a group puts on, and then we have the summer market. So we thought, hey, why not have a beer fest? So we've got that in the on the list to see if that we can pull that off. I've had a number of people inquire about us having a beer fest, which a number of cities, including Lorain, has, and it works really well. It's very popular, and I think we can focus on a Miller Road Park with that and have a very successful event. So that's one of the many things that we're looking at. We certainly want to do community events. We certainly want to get the churches involved, have them celebrate their own history and tradition. Certainly the schools and also the service clubs, Rotary, Kiwanis, and so forth. They are an important part of our history, you know, particularly Kiwanis over the years. They've done a tremendous amount of good for the community, and now Rotary has picked up that baton and is doing some wonderful things as well.
I've seen them, I think I picked it up at the library, a survey, a questionnaire of what people would like to see for the bicentennial. So residents have an opportunity to say what they would like to see.
Absolutely. We're forming a committee, and two people, Barb Cagley in our cable TV department is the head of the group or the commission, if you will, and Ted Esborn, our economic development director, is helping her. And we decided, and talking to people from Grafton and other communities, the first meeting you have 80 people, second meeting 40, third meeting 20, and then 10 people do all the work. So we thought we would put a structure in place, and we are going to invite people to a meeting at the end of this year or early next year, and we will take advantage of their great enthusiasm and their ideas. So we're not planning everything before the public gets involved, but we're setting up some opportunities, and we certainly will move in the direction of what the community feels would be a fitting tribute to our 200 years.
Of course, one of the great assets of this area is being on the lake.
Absolutely.
And you have a couple public parks right on the lake,
right.
And I imagine you would incorporate those areas, like you say, Miller Road, into the celebration.
Yeah, that is goes without saying. Both Miller and Veterans Park, which is where we have the wine fest and the summer market, those are incredibly popular. I look at Veterans Park as our living room or our front porch, if you will, and things are very successful there. We're always short of parking, but you certainly can't buy a park and pave three quarters of it so people can get out of their car and look at the lake. That doesn't make sense. So we want to keep everything green, and what's wrong with a little walking? We all could use a little more walking. Now, people are willing to do it for walk a little bit of a distance. We're going to, you know, take advantage of little shuttle buses and whatever when we have big events. We think it's going to be a fun time for everyone.
I know one of the summer events I drove by, I'm not sure exactly which one it was, but people were parking by the high school.
Yes.
And it's a short walk.
Right.
And one willing people are willing to make.
Absolutely. And, of course, by the pool and so forth, that isn't very far either. So we do have a wonderful group of people who come to those events. Several thousand people come to those events, and that's I think it's wonderful. Of course, then we have things like big trucks, which is fun. We really enjoy that. I enjoy coming and going, walking against the crowds to hear the comments, you know, the anticipation and the kids and grandparents even leaving, smiling, and they're talking about all the fun. And then, of course, you have to sort of wiggle your finger in your ear because of the blowing of the horns that the kids do. But other than that, it's an incredibly successful event. It's free, and it's something people look forward to every year.
I was at my first one this year,
yep.
And the crowd was just incredible. I couldn't believe how many people were there right at the start at 10 o'clock.
And there are a lot of people from outside of town, which we welcome. We certainly want to share with people the assets of our community, and it's good public relations for the businesses in town, certainly for Sweetbriar and Legacy golf course and also this wonderful restaurant. Joanne Coff and Bucky do a great job of hosting, as they are the sectional tournament this morning. It's people like that that we need to make everything work. Where would they play if they didn't have an opportunity to play here? There are a lot, you know, Bill Fitch up in Avon at Bobolink is equally gracious. He opens up his course to young folks to play golf, and of course those are the future paying customers, obviously, so there's a good business angle to that. But we're proud of our community, we're proud of being on the lake, and we're proud of places like Legacy.
You brought up the golf. I should mention we want to congratulate the ones who are moving on to the districts for the boys yesterday who participated. Girls, by the way, going on today. Ignatius, Rocky River, Olmsted Falls, and Avon Lake. So well,
absolutely
represented.
Wonderful. We're the one Lorain County school going on. But at the girls tournament, we'll find out who gets to go on to Columbus as well.
When you look at Avon Lake now in 2017, heading into the new year, what kind of issues, what kind of things are on your plate?
We've had a very good year. Last year we had a super year because of what was going on at Ford Plant. And also there was a tremendous amount of work being done at NRG to make them environmentally compliant, to keep using a higher quality of coal to meet the so-called MATS standard, M meaning mercury and whatever other elements are in there. So we have the power plant spending a lot of money to upgrade, but as you know, there were layoffs at Ford this summer, which they announced, will continue into the end of the year. But still, there are 1,700 workers at Ford, and a good portion of them work within the community, and that is a big bulk of our revenues in order to provide the services that residents in Avon Lake expect. So we've had a good year. It's been a solid year. Last year was really a super year. And as you know, the auto industry is cyclical. So we have to make sure we have money set aside for those down years. And so last year gave us an opportunity to put a few dollars away when we have declines in production, whatever. Through the last recession, which was quite severe, we never had to lay anyone off through attrition and through real belt tightening and watching every penny. We were able to continue to provide services for the community, which reminds me, we do have a renewal of a paramedic levy coming up in November. It is a 2.0 paramedic levy. It brings in about $1.6 million, and it's to provide paramedic services for the residents of Avon Lake. It never ceases to amaze me how great those folks are, from picking people up off the floor when they fall to reviving someone whose heart may have stopped, and they get them to the hospital, and they've had great success in providing quality care for people. So we like to think it's the emergency room in your driveway. So that's important.
Today here at the golf course, just looking out, people have been getting the course ready for the girls' sectionals today. I haven't seen any deer. Now, I know deer.
Oh, they're here.
I know deer have been an issue in the city. Where do you stand now?
We are going to continue our deer culling program. Councilman John Schondel was instrumental in working with Department of Wildlife and the Avon Lake Police Department. We have a procedure involved. It allows for deer damage control, culling within neighborhoods, which is really tough because as safety director, my first obligation is the safety of the residents. But wildlife will come out, and if you have damage to your property, yes, you are experiencing damage from deer, then you go to police department, you get a proposal, is it viable, what's behind your house. If it's woods, it's a much better situation. From a 10-foot deer stand shooting down, yes, you can take out, let's say, two or three deer. They give you two or three permits. And so it's all monitored. We have had no incidents whatsoever. We also have deer culling within the metro, not within the metro parks, but on private property in the metro park complex. Lorain County Metro Parks does not allow deer culling, which I think is unfortunate because the deer are causing real damage in Avon Lake Coff Family Reservation. The understory is virtually gone, and if that continues, that woods will die. And the Wildlife Department of Ohio has acknowledged that. And so they've been working with us. And we've taken out about 140 deer over the last 3 years, the last 2 years, 61 with the various programs. Now, unfortunately, the disease, they would call it blue tongue, I don't know what the name is, but the way it affects the deer, they become incredibly thirsty, so they always go towards water, and they tend to die along creeks and near ponds and whatever. That will have an impact on the population. But despite what we've been doing, I still have seen smaller herds, but they're around, and they have eaten my flowers, which is very frustrating, and my vegetables. So it's more than a nuisance. It becomes a danger, particularly when vehicles collide with deer. That's a potentially dangerous situation. Those numbers are down. Mr. Shondell has been charting that very carefully. Picking deer up alongside of the road is one of the indicators, but it's hard to determine from what cause have they died. So, but we have a program that's continuing on, and it needs to continue in order to maintain a lower level. We are not attempting to eliminate all deer. We're trying to bring it down to a viable level so they can coexist with us, and it doesn't destroy our understory in our woods.
Our resident hunter back on the board, Tim Grattan, tells me that it's deer yellow tongue that is a disease as well, too.
Deer yellow?
Yellow tongue that he's familiar with as well.
Could be blue, could be yellow.
Yes.
Depending on where you live.
Right.
I guess so.
And that disease is not in any way dangerous to human beings. It's not transferable, and but anyway, wildlife is on top of it. It was in southern Ohio, and it slowly moved up, almost like the ash borer all of a sudden showed up here one day.
Yeah. Now, one other thing. Are you a golfer?
I'm a golfer, and I'm envious of your view. I'm looking straight at you in the bar, and behind me, you're looking over my shoulder watching the activity outside. Believe it or not, I used to be Avon Lake High School golf coach. If you ever saw me play golf, you wouldn't know that. But I remember for 10 years going to these tournaments, how exciting it is for the kids. And I'm so pleased now that we have a girls' league. I was in the era where some girls were playing on the boys team, and that's a challenge. But there were some outstanding young ladies from Northern Ohio who did very well in that. Living through the Title IX issue, it's got its pluses and its minuses, but certainly girls have come a long way to show us how to be outstanding athletes. One anecdote, when our girls basketball team won the state championship, I observed a different attitude in the classroom of between girls and boys. They had won that first state championship, and the guys hadn't won one yet. And it was an interesting attitudinal change that took place, that girls did achieve a very high level of excellence. And so now we have our culture affected by that, for the most part, I think, very in a very good way.
What year of a Shoreman yearbook do I need to look up to see you as the golf coach?
That would be probably about 1976 to about 1986.
Right. I can imagine the golf outfits from that decade.
That's right.
As well.
So. I got into trouble because we ordered cardigan sweaters, and those were out, and the guys didn't want to wear them. So you buy all these sweaters, and, they're not in style.
They're not in style.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Do bell bottoms work on golf pants? I don't know from that
early days they did. We've got, of course, no jeans on the golf course. That was always a big thing we had to deal with. Right. Kids were great.
Well, that's great.
I have fond memories of all that.
We appreciate you coming in and sharing with us, and good luck on your bicentennial.
Thank you. I hope you'll come back and be part of it.
Absolutely. And we'll see what new things that are there. It's interesting how different communities want to celebrate the bicentennial, how much they look in the past, how much they look for what they're doing now to spur something for the future. So it's just an opportunity to kind of reflect, maybe reset a little bit for a community.
And it does establish an increased level of pride in community, and that's what's so very important. We learned, if I could do real quickly, I was at this photo opportunity I mentioned, Craig. We had the Laurie Ann Riegert Skin Cancer Awareness Foundation. Laurie Ann passed away in 2016 from melanoma. and her family. Her mom owns the insurance company here in Avon Lake. They have formed a foundation, and they have are providing dispensers and free sunblock for at the Avon Lake pool and the Avon pool. And the effort here is to make people aware of the dangers of sun, the sun and skin cancer and what you need to do. You know, we've had several other families experience terrible losses, but they take this terrible loss and turn it into something positive, like Smiles for Sophie, which has raised so much money, and also Prayers for Maria, which is the sunflower effort that you see in Avon. So Riegerts have stepped up, and they do it in the memory of their daughter, and it's encouraging to see that they're able to deal with their terrible loss and turn it into something that's going to be very positive. So again, that's what makes community.
Absolutely. We appreciate, again, your time stopping in this morning
you.
As we spotlight Avon Lake this morning from the Legacy Grill here at Sweetbriar.